This was what someone said. I say, our Father, we receive
revelation that Father will receive what?
Says, in it, through our eyes, behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself, as regards tongues and interpretation, we receive clarity, and in meekness, and edification comes to our hearts. Amen. Glory to God. So we are looking at tongues yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Tongues yesterday, today, and forever. Now we said, the reason why we have to look at this at this point, we said, but sir, this week is prayer, is it here now? Let us teach prayer, don't worry. Amen. Sometimes you know people call from the book. We are thinking, the pastor will teach him prayer. Amen. Now, the reason why we have faith of these teachers is because of sometimes there are folks who start doing things, or they got born again, used to a particular pattern of life, and after a while they see they no longer believe in it. Amen. You see some people, Christians, who have even experienced healing. They don't believe in healing anymore. How? Amen. Glory to God. See, I've had an experience with someone. You were around for a video. Amen. You were around for a video years back. That was around 2006. Yeah. So, in fact, he used to be around. And this guy used to fall under the power of God like this. You see, you know, I've met people who use their hands to fall. And people who fail. You know, this is power. Amen. So sometimes like that, I was just thinking about it for days back. And the guy was on the floor for about 30 minutes. Bah! And in 2 years after, what about 28? I think so, yeah. The guy now started saying some funny things that those falling down is not power of God. How do you think he got to that point? Amen? Glory to God. WWCC is on days back. They were telling me about a guy, a pastor. He attended carrying, I guess he was carrying, he came from Bini, with Bini boss. They hired a boss that came from Bini. Now that's every tomorrow, if that guy says nonsense, is that a show, I was like, amen. The pastor laid hands on him during, I guess, around 2017 or 2018. Laid hands on him, and he fell under the power last week. And trust the same community church. They will not pick you up. They will allow you to repeat your battle. So it was catching the whole power and it went under the power. When you could wake up, he said there was only empty chairs inside the hall. Ah, what is happening? You ran outside to go and join Paul, like those of you. Both of you have gone like 4 hours. Why are you guys? Yeah, he just woke up now after I had the lead on him and everywhere is empty. You know, some of us will have been thinking, have you made them like this? Amen? Everybody left. Nobody, there's nobody there. Amen. So he was saying, I was just laughing.
Amen. What kind of person can not come tomorrow and say, doesn't believe in falling on like a fan? Amen. Glory to God. But I'm just saying that. But there are people like that who, when it comes to some things that is done and they said the power of God, they later begin to doubt it. And that, I said, is as a result of not being taught God's word well. Amen. Having full grasp of what it is. I have a friend who spoke in tongues together. We spoke in tongues for hours together. Hours. That's Nigerian speaking of hours. It's 10 hours. We pray now for hours. Children, my younger son, who has to have gone to school, will stay back at home. He will come to my place. We'll hold hands. We'll pray for hours till they come back. So recently, he had a day saying he doesn't believe in tongues. He doesn't look at speaking tongues. I don't understand. I had a daughter with a young lady who I said, oh, speaking in tongues. Okay, she wrote something. I said, we speak in tongues. Satan is from you. This was like 3 years ago. I said, come on. Why are you putting Satan there?
When the devil talks about
tongues, he didn't mention that. Some people, what they know about speaking tongues, speaking tongues.
Satan is confused. Forever and ever, amen. So, the day they found out that they now want to do with Satan, he began to doubt.
See well, Satan is confused. Come on.
Why are you saying that? Why are you bringing Satan into it? Amen. Why do you want to bring Satan? Because Satan doesn't even... Satan...
The explanation of tongues in scripture has got nothing to do with Satan.
Amen. We're going to see that.
It's got nothing at all. So why are you bringing it up? No. He just not knowing what tongues is for. We hope to achieve some feats today as we get into GDL. Because we're going to be speaking in tongues for hours. Hallelujah. We are going to be speaking in tongues for hours. So we need to understand what tongues is for.
Hallelujah. So say, it's got lack of proper Bible study. Lack of proper Bible study. That people have this kind of gaps and so on, and they say, I no longer believe in it. How can you say that? I no longer believe in it. One day you wake up and say, I no longer believe in God. That is a teasing. A teasing doesn't happen in one day. It's a gradual process. Hope you know that. A teasing, to be an atheist doesn't happen in one day. I'm not an atheist. It's little by little. You stop believing in the things that you once had to faith. Hallelujah. And then they say, I no longer believe in God. It's a head like yam.
How would this is when you started from small?
We know your destination.
Somebody that has that came up from school with your class said, I've looked at it. I've seen that there's no God. Third class. You should be keeping quiet. When professors are getting born again, professors with third class are getting born again, you third class. You say, for my study, for my finding, my hypothesis, what did you get in your project?
You couldn't even do common research work. You said for my research. Certainly research. And stash. Nonsense. Matthew 1:1.
Let's look at a few things.
Matthew 1:1.
Oh, God of my soul. I give you no control.
Then the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. So, look at how Matthew opens up. Matthew is writing about the incarnation of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and he says, the book of the generations. Generations there is that Greek word genesis, for Genesis. So, he tells you that the Genesis, what you have as Genesis, is what, come on, is the Genesis of Jesus. Hallelujah. Making you see that what he wants to, that is an opening remark, and he makes you see that what he wants to write about the incarnation of Jesus is what scripture fulfilled from the Genesis. So he's telling you don't get detached with what I'm writing. The story of Jesus, his incarnation, you have to read it from where? From the Genesis. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Very vital. You mustn't lose that at all. Glory to God. If we get to Matthew 28 from verses 18, he came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, verse 20, and lo, I am. Hallelujah. Now when he calls Jesus, when Jesus says, I am there, is an excellent word. The I am. Jesus is saying he is the God of the Old Testament book. Same thing, you can't get detached. Hallelujah. But when you write about the incarnation and the divinity of Christ, you have to read them from the Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Mark did the same thing. After all, through this part, we'll have a lot to cover today. Now, Mark did the same thing. Mark opens up with the beginning. Okay. When you hear beginning in scriptures, you go back again to Genesis. Hallelujah. He calls, what is right? He says he calls it the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He takes you in verse 2 as it is written. Where is it written? Malachi. And then verse 3, Isaiah. Telling you, you have to read what he's telling you backwards. Hallelujah. So he's telling you about the incarnation, the life of Jesus Christ. You have to read it again from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. You have to go back and read. You get to Mark 16.
We'll do a bit of some exploring during GPL. I mean, during GPL out on this. Hallelujah. We'll get to see something that we're seeing, and then from just look at some things to explore into. I don't want to use the word deeper. Amen. Verse 20, it says, they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them. Again, showing you the divinity of Jesus, walking with them.
This is his divinity.
Amen. Walking with them. And it's an Exodus language.
How is that Exodus language?
God was with them. Hallelujah. The nation of Israel. God was with them. So, he shows you the same narrative. God walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Luke chapter 1. I'm a bit fast on this. Say, for as much as men have taken in hand to set for the, I mean, in order a declaration of those things which are surely believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, if, I mean, which were from the beginning, were eyewitness and ministers of the word. Again, he goes to the beginning. Now, he made that disclaimer that he is not. This is Luke. He said, he wasn't there. He was not an eyewitness. But what he's writing to you, he got it from who? The eyewitness. Who I was? Not any eyewitness on the street. No channel TV or G Slower eyewitnesses. Hallelujah. Not Instagram or Instagram eyewitnesses. No. He said he called those eyewitnesses, called them ministers from the beginning. Which from the beginning, after Genesis, are ministers. So that means where he got his account from were for men who are ministers from Genesis. Is that? And then when he goes to verse 3, he shows you his audience. He had an audience who is a Gentile. Yet a Gentile audience, you still have to present the Jewish Bible. Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Genesis down to Malachi. So at every point in time, what they are telling you is don't get detached. Don't get detached at all from the 39 books. I know, we call it 39 books. Genesis to Malachi, Old Testament, we'll deal with that also. Hallelujah. Old Testament is gone. There's New Testament now. Okay, we're going to see that. Is Old Testament really gone?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So, one thing we said quickly is that we said every writer of the New Testament, the synoptic and the epistles, were interpreting, right? They were interpreting the previous prophets.
Was that what we said?
Every writer of the New Testament and the epistles were interpreting Moses. Now, the same way too, every prophet was writing from the previous prophet. Amen. So, while the synoptic and the epistles were writing from the Old Testament books, every other prophet were writing from the prophet before. We said Daniel was reading which book? Jeremiah's book. So it's reading Jeremiah's book that he discovered that Israel was supposed to spend how many years? Is it 70 years now? And then they've gone past 70 years. In captivity, so he went again and began to pray. He was reading Jeremiah. So he was reading, so they will write from a previous prophet. Hope you're following me. So they are interpreting or explaining a previous prophet. Better put. Hallelujah. Amen. So we said, in doing that, they employ a technique called shorthand. Shorthand. Before you begin to think of shorthand, you did in school. Shorthand is just a word that captures some several words. Amen. You employ a speech called shorthand. I want to write about a whole story and I will employ a shorthand. Or you will write in subject matter. Shorthand. Now what is shorthand? Shorthand is a word that summarizes a book or a narrative. You know, recently, some people began to say Jesus paid the price. We call the reason of the word redeemed. This dying of the word redeemed. Now, they missed it because they were reading redeemed as a Greek word for how you pay money to get something. So everybody began to ask, so people began to ask the question, who did Jesus pay money to? Who did Jesus pay to? What did he pay? So, oh, it was his blood. That was easy to get, right? He paid his blood. So who? No, he gave his blood to Satan. No, Jesus can't pay his blood to Satan, but he actually beat up Satan. Oh, he gave it to God! How can you give God your blood to redeem people who are under the hands of Satan? You do that, so it's just like God paying God to release us. No, it doesn't make sense. So, years back, that person was asked to me and my friend,
says, no, it can't be God.
It can't be the devil. So who is it? Okay.
Because we're sharp students.
Sharp students. I said, okay.
He pays that a demand for justice. That's nonsense.
No, sir.
How can he pay that a demand for justice?
That is a sign that you didn't actually understand the narrative of what redeemed. So that word redeemed is a shorthand for narrative in the Old Testament. Okay, I'm following you. So when you have to read redeemed, you have to start from Genesis 16. How they entered Egypt. How God rescued them from Egypt. Who did God pay anything to in Egypt?
Pharaoh, no.
Who? No. He didn't pay anything. So redeemed doesn't necessarily mean you have to pay something to get something. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So the word redeemed, when you go back to the Hebrew, because you say every word in the New Testament book has its origin in the Old Testament book. Did we say that? So when you hear redeemed, you go back to the Old Testament, what is redeemed from there? So redeemed from the Old Testament book is the word God used for a nest of kings. So when God gets to Egypt to redeem the children of Israel, he acted as the nest of kings to Abraham. So he didn't obey anything. He just took the children of Israel out. That is redemption. What am I following it? That is what redemption.
Glory to God. Glory to God. What
am I following it now? What am I following it now?
So many times you have words like that. So they will use words like in shorthand to talk about a narrative in the Old Testament books.
Amen. Even how they wrote. You know, I showed us something in Matthew 22. They asked Jesus, what is the great commandment of the law?
And the way Matthew would put it, Matthew used a shorthand to respond.
Now Jesus said a couple of things. And he used subject matter. Just count it so that you will go back and reread the whole books. The whole book of Deuteronomy.
So, what the way Matthew put it is, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't miss that out now. Matthew 22. So, are you there? Verse 37. He said, thou shalt love. That is how he put it. But then I said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind.
This is the first and great commandment.
This is that. Now when you take that to Mark 12, the same question, look at how Mark will couch what Jesus said. Mark 12, quickly like that. Verse 29, he said to them, the first commandment is, yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love. Now he now says the same thing that Matthew said.
Is that? So what is the difference? Matthew captured Deuteronomy 6:5 in Europe. Mark captured 4:5. So what did he say? They are telling you what Jesus said is beyond that. But they use that so that you'll be able to know this is what he is talking about. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Hope you're seeing that. Hope you're seeing that. So they are telling you go back again.
So they were writing shorthand.
Because if they write everything, if they quote everything verbatim that Jesus and the apostles said, your Bible will be inside Ghana must go. Amen. If I Ghana must go, will be part one. One will be part two. That part two, part three, part four. Amen. So what would they do? They will now write in shorthand. Amen. Amen. So that shorthand is to capture narratives, books of the Old Testament.
What are you following me? So you have to go back again and reread. Amen. So every serious Bible student will know that the New Testament books point you back to the Old Testament books. It will always point you back.
I said something to us during understanding the gospel last year, which will continue next year. I said to us that the Old Testament have the sufficiency to interpret itself. Amen. It can interpret itself. But the New Testament cannot, because you always need the Old Testament to interpret the New Testament. I said that's all. Hallelujah.
Amen. Say, no, why should we read Old Testament books? I know when you go born again, they tell you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they add Acts. More than they say add the new Romans. Then you just started learning some few things.
First, I mean 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man being like a new creation. Just giving you cherry picking. They are going to do Momo River. And all the Momo Rivers that you were taught is New Testament. Not the Old Testament. Interesting.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to read the whole narrative. We also said that Jesus fulfilled the feast of the Jews. Right? All the feast of the Jews. He had to fulfill it. Why?
Because Moses, like we said you need to know how they wrote. They wrote their seven books. Right? Psalm 78. Now Moses will use to prefigure, right? He will use things to prefigure what God will do. We said that. Now he will also use feasts. He will give them feasts to point to God's oracles, what God is doing. He will use feasts to point to what God is doing. Hallelujah. Now it will not be unbelief if you leave what he is telling you and start doing, following feasts. The feast is to make you see this is what God is doing here. Hallelujah. What are you following me? The same way Moses gave them a tabernacle. We are coming to see tabernacle soon. And then, he gave them a tabernacle. Solomon gave them a temple. Now, if you leave what they said by the side to tell you, to make you see that God is building his temple and his tabernacle in all the earth, and you begin to rush into the temple to go and see God, then there is something in your head. Amen. They should just remove what is in your head and put coconut water there. Amen. Amen. Because he gave them that as the writer of Hebrew will call it hypodegma, an event or thing that points to a greater fact. You are going to a bank and you see a signboard this way to the bank, and you stand with the signboard and say, "This is the bank." The signboard is pointing you to the bank. And you are staying with the signboard. That is what it is. Amen? So the feast that Moses gave them was a symbol to point to what God is doing. So Moses gave them the feast of Passover. Gave them the feast of Jubilee. Gave them the feast of Pentecost. Gave them Sabbath. Amen. He gave them all these feasts. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled them. Why would Jesus fulfill? Was Moses writing for Jesus to fulfill? No! Moses was writing to point to God's oracle, but because what Moses was writing was supposed to be, was pointing to Christ, he being the Christ would have to fulfill it. Hope I follow it. So we have to fulfill it. Amen. So we looked at the feast. So you have to go back again and read what I taught you. This should be the sixth section, if I'm not mistaken. Hallelujah. So, we have five sections already where we spoke about the feast. Hallelujah. So, we said the Passover. Jesus came as the Passover lamb. He came as the Passover. So, when you hear Passover, and you're just reading Passover as Passover. No! I said you have to go back. There's a narrative of Passover in Exodus 12, right? And Deuteronomy 16. You have to read them together. Hallelujah. Passover, Exodus 12 in Egypt. And where did God come from? Amen. So you have to read Passover together. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled the Passover. He fulfilled the Jubilee year. We said the Jubilee year is that set of the year of the Lord. And he fulfilled Pentecost. Now Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. And Jesus died in Passover and Pentecost was fulfilled also. 50 days after. Hallelujah. So what did we say about Pentecost? We say Pentecost is not actually a day, but they have to observe the 50 days because it has to be fulfilled. Was that what we said? It has to be fulfilled. But that doesn't mean a man gets born again, he has to wait 50 days to receive the Holy Ghost. I mean to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. No. Amen. It has to be fulfilled. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So we are Pentecostal because the sister. That is Sister Bola. She is Pentecostal. The Pentecostal sister. Hallelujah. You guys don't know the narrative behind calling Bola Pentecostal sister. Until the day I will say it. And I want to say it on her birthday. Anyway. It's a narrative that came about between Bola, myself, and Femi.
How do you remember?
Without spilling it out. How Pentecostal sister is coming from 20, and that's 2014 or 2015. Or 2016, right? 15 years. It's the 2015 narrative. The Pentecostal.
The Pentecostal goes speaking tongues.
You mean? Okay, let's get back. So, we said in Pentecost, what will we do? What happened in Pentecost?
They spoke in tongues, no.
Let's see what happened. I mean, I've shown you what happened with this, but let me just summarize. In Pentecost, we said, now, when I say in Pentecost, not Acts 2 Pentecost.
Amen?
Do you understand what I mean? In Pentecost, not Acts 2 Pentecost. Right? Right? So what do we do in Pentecost? In Pentecost, we receive God's first fruit of the Spirit. Right? And then we offer it in worship.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So in Pentecost, what do we have? We will receive God's first fruit of the Spirit and we'll offer it in worship to God. And we'll say it will be done in utterance, tongues.
So speaking in tongues is me offering of God's first fruit. It's an offering. It's worship.
We saw that
when in Leviticus 23, when Moses was writing about the feast of Pentecost, he said when they get into the land, this is that, so it will happen in the land. They will receive the first fruits.
Hallelujah.
They didn't plant it, but they will enter into the harvest.
Hallelujah.
So they receive the first fruits of the land. First fruit of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The land is the Spirit. Then, in 50 days, they will now offer it. The 50 days is to mean new beginning. So it's a feast of new beginning. They will now offer it in worship as a sacrifice to God.
Amen.
They will offer it as a sacrifice in worship to God. So watch that and watch it well. So what do we do in Pentecost? We receive of God's first fruit, the Spirit, and then we offer it in worship.
Hallelujah.
So Pentecost means worship.
Okay, following you. Worship. Allow you now. Amen. It's worship. Hallelujah. So, how do we worship?
Now, when we get back, I remember I said in Pentecost is when they receive the law. Right? Exodus 20. You read that Exodus 19:20. So what were the signs of them receiving the law? Utterance. Did you see that? We saw that. Utterance. The same signs you saw in Acts 2, where the signs that they had is Exodus. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. So that becomes very clear.
Very clear. The same signs. You're with the God. So when Joel now said that the sun will be turned to blood,
I have to say, hey, the son who see signs said, no, God wants to do signs.
Hallelujah.
It's not signs at all.
Glory to God.
It's God wanting to do signs.
Now begin to try to equate it to signs. No. It was just signs. Hallelujah. So let's see what Jesus spoke about utterance. Mark 16. Verse 17. Say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. This is that new tongues.
They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. Again, he brings in another shorthand. New. You know, in our world today, when you say new, I bought a new car. It means it's a car that has never, okay, it's a brand new car. I don't have this at all before, right? Brand new car. That I bought a brand new phone. It's new.
Hallelujah.
New phone. I bought a brand new shoe. New shoe. You don't have it before. But you cannot, like I said to us, you cannot read your word today into Bible days. Into Bible words.
Amen.
It will be an error. It will be an error. You can't do that. Because that's why a lot of people have a lot of mismatch. Like the young guy who says he never knows who Paul's father is. Because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. He read it in his day, in his world today. Say, my old man was crucified, Paul said. Now that I know who Paul's father is. Wow, I got the revelation. God's Rema.
No, when he said, what was that?
I caught the Rema.
Please ask him, what is the Rema? Be careful, because what you get received as the Rema will shock you too.
Amen.
It's usually high tension work. Whenever he had called Rema, he said, when I see him, just be careful. Make sure you are wearing an insulator. Because it will shock you.
The guy said, what was the revelation? And I said,
who is your old man?
He said, my old man, Papa.
Oh, the old man is a problem.
Yeah,
it's not my old man.
Paul now said,
my old man, think about it, was crucified. So that means that man on the cross
with Jesus, his first father. Your madness is entering my head.
Yeah? Okay, you say that. You can't say that at all. Because Paul's old man was referring to his flesh. Did you see that?
You remember?
But old man. So that is for that old man in their world. So a good Bible student will give the seat of the first order. This what you are reading was written thousands of years ago. Some of you, if I give you Shakespeare to read, you can't even read it. The D and the down and the door. And you say, no sir, I don't really understand. How will you understand? And you think Shakespeare that is that many years old? You're not talking about Bible that was before Shakespeare.
Just to calm down.
Like the young boy don't see more than you. Calm down.
When it comes
to Bible, there's no rush.
Calm down.
Yeah? Throw away your mouth, throw away your mouth. You cannot possibly tell someone who stays his mouth to look back at you and is coming. You ask, what is that? That's the name of a masquerade. Amen? You can tell someone and say, Eros, you want to kill us?
He said, what?
What is it? Any of concentration here? Is it? Because it's given to the Lord. And when I remember, you will get the seed of that audience. So when Jesus said, new forms, what does it mean? So that was new.
Remember, we said the origin of words is somewhere.
The Old Testament book.
So when Jesus said new forms here, the origin will be the Old Testament book.
So we have to go back again and see what new means.
Hallelujah.
What is new? That word new is from that Hebrew word kadash. C-H-A-D-A-S-H. Kadash.
Kadash.
That word means to renew.
A renewed something.
Renew.
To renew. You know, I thought of this, that was sometime last year on the new song. I would say the word new means to renew.
Hallelujah.
To renew. Also, remember I taught some of us in SOA. You remember SOA? Some of you in SOA, that is actually renew.
Right? Do you remember that? Who was in SOA? Were you in SOA?
Okay, you didn't even qualify. How did you qualify for this contract? Where are you yesterday? Where are you yesterday? Are you human? That is the fourth chapter of the answer. That is clear. You want to know people that are yesterday are supposed to start with?
CSA student that carry certificate cannot even defend certificate in women. See now he's putting his head down. As if writing anything. Not writing nothing. So he cannot just look up. So,
is that what it's to renew?
Amen.
And you're talking about renewed tongues. We're going to see that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said, another thing we see that new was used for is covenant.
You hear the word new covenant. New covenant. Or we call it renewed covenant. Renewed covenant. You know, the word covenant and the word testament are almost the same, just like new testament. Renewed testament.
So when you say new covenant, for example, new covenant. Oh well. We'll explore this again in GPLR. There will be that we will say in GPLR concerning it. Amen. Glory to God. In Jeremiah 31:31, quickly. So we were exploring it here, like I said to us, is so that we understand it from this perspective before we get to the real life. It will be more holistic when we get there. Okay, follow me. Okay. So I mean Jeremiah 31:31. Quickly, are you there? It says there, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant. Now the word covenant, new covenant, was used only twice in the whole scripture. Twice.
Oh, sorry, three times. Used by Jeremiah in the Old Testament, used by the Lord Jesus for in the communion table, in the supper table rather. So it's a new covenant in my blood, and lastly, it was used by the writer of Hebrews. Amen?
Now let's see what they spoke about. Now that's 1:1. It says, we are making a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant, watch this, which I made with their father, and the day I took them by the hand, and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Watch that. Although I was an husband to them, said the Lord.
Watch this. So, what did they break? Is it God's covenant? Is it God's covenant? Come on now, look up. Is it God's covenant that they broke? Glory to God. He said, I will make a new covenant. So, is that brand new covenant or renewing the covenant they broke? Thank you. He's renewing the covenant they broke. It's not like a brand new covenant. Right now, there's no old covenant. Where one? The Old Testament. Where? Even the writers of scriptures did tell you there's Old and New Testament. Hallelujah. See, but in the Bible, they wrote Old Testament, they say it. No, I'm telling you the truth. Help your life. Just go there and say that. Go to where the Lord will say that. It's back to one by one. Read Bible together. We just saw that you shouldn't read the Bible detached. You must read them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Peter stood up to preach in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, about Jesus, he didn't say, how do you remember the Old Testament? No! He didn't say that. Because there's nothing called Old Testament. There's nothing like that. Don't worry, we're exploring that. Hallelujah.
I'm getting a bit emotional. So I really don't want to. Well, it's annoying. There's Old Testament.
It's not the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi.
Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's see something. Hebrews 8. Let's get to Hebrews 8. Let's see that Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is reading Jeremiah, and that's what he says. Hebrews 8, right? Come on, let's see this. Okay, verse 7, it says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. Is it second, is it new or renew?
New or renew? Oh yeah, stop. When it says my covenant they broke, is that number? Look, we are coming out. Is that number? How did they break? Unbelief.
Yes.
Okay, follow me. When he said, I need you to look up, if you are sleeping, sleep on.
If you are not sleeping, look up. Don't force us.
Who is that person? Who is that person? They are joining.
Okay. Because when I saw his exalted seat, is a female guy sitting there. I have to ask. Where's the apostle?
Yes. So you are going ahead to pray before GTLA. What a man of God. I will continue. So what is it? Which my commandment which they broke. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt. That would be unbelief, that would be Numbers. Right? Numbers chapter 13:14, they were unbelieving. Right? They did not believe the spies. Watch it. They didn't believe the spies. When they came back, they didn't believe. They didn't believe the report
city, they turned in their hearts and went to Egypt
unbelief.
That's Numbers. They broke God's commandment in Numbers. God gave them the commandment where? In Exodus. They broke it in Numbers. What did God do? There is now a Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is second law. Deuteronomy. So I need you to see how the writer of Hebrews is writing. He says, the first covenant, Exodus, was broken in Numbers, and there is now the place of the second renewed. You see that? We're going to get there. I need you to see that.
Hallelujah.
Did you see that? So there will be no place of the second. That's renewed. He's redeemed you to seven books. So he's saying, there's an Exodus, there's an unbelief, and then there's a Deuteronomy. Second law, second covenant. Deuteronomy.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow you.
Now let's get back to Hebrews. We'll go back to Exodus. I need your attention here. It says, not according to the covenant which I made with your fathers in the days I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued long not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. Hallelujah. For this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind. I'll write it in their hearts. And I'll be them to them a God, and they will be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least of the greatest. I'll be merciful to their righteousness and truth, and their sins and iniquity I'll remember no more. And when he says a new covenant, he made the first oath. Stop. What is the first? Is that the one that was broken? Amen? Glory to God. Come on. So, what did break? Is it the law that broke for their unbelief? Was that the force that was found? What was the force? Is the force with the law or with unbelief? Unbelief. So what does it make for? Unbelief. That is what is going away. Did you see that? So what is referred to as all covenant is unbelief. It's unbelief. So, never was a book referred to as Old Covenant. Not Genesis, no, Leviticus, not Deuteronomy, not Joshua, not Judges, not Samuel, not King, not Chronicles, not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, not Malachi, not Uzziah. They were not referred to as the Old Testament. The Old Testament would be unbelief. What are you following me now? What are you following me now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because what they had in the wilderness, is God's covenant. God is the old and new. Hallelujah. That's what they had. God's covenant.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So unbelief made them to break it. So when they broke it in Numbers by Deuteronomy, God renews it. God renews it in Deuteronomy. Now, the covenant God kept to them in Exodus, is it the same covenant he kept with Abraham? Come on, is it the same with Abraham? In Isaac, did he mention the same covenant again? Just like I did with your father, Abraham, right? So he's renewing it in Isaac. Did you see that? It's not a brand new one. It's the same one that Abraham renews in Isaac. About the land. In Jacob, he renews it again. Concerning the same land. Did you see that? He gave to the children of Israel. He gave them the same covenant. He gave to Abraham and he gave Jacob. And then he's renewing it with them. Hallelujah. Now when they broke it, the people that broke that commandment died in the wilderness. Numbers 14, they all died. So when they died, God met their generation, the other one after them, and then he renews his covenant with them in Deuteronomy. How are we following that? He renews it again in Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 30, let's see how he renews it again. Deuteronomy 30, he says to them, hope that with me. So Deuteronomy is second covenant, is second law. Deuteronomous, second law. Second law doesn't mean the, it means renewed covenant. Amen.
Second, the Deuteros is also used for a renewal, that which follows, or something that is renewed. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a shape for renewal. Glory to God. We're going to 30 now. Are you there? Okay, follow me. Verse 14 says, okay, I'll start from verse 11, sorry. It says, for this commandment which I commanded this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. He says, it's not in heaven. Watching me here now. Now he was telling me about the new covenant. I said, it is not in heaven. Now when he used the word heaven there, he's not referring to the skies. No, he was referring to the hills. The hills and the mountains is called heavens. I'm going to find out to show you that. Hallelujah.
Okay,
let's see if that can come in.
Don't you tell
us? It's referring to the mountains are called, the mountains are called heaven. So when he said that Moses went to the mountains of the hills, he called it way to heaven.
Amen.
Because the mountains are high, it's called heaven. So he said, you know, the who will go to heaven to bring it down. He's saying there, what he means there is, he don't say who will go to mountains again to go and bring it down again, like Andy, like Moses did when he came with the covenant, with the word of the Lord from the mountain. Hope you're following me. So he said, he don't say who will go to the mountains to bring it down.
Hope you're following me.
He's explaining to them what the renewed covenant is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and to bring it unto us, which is the mountain, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea. Now when he says it beyond the sea there, he makes you see. Now when he used two very important words that we might not be able to explore today or next year, but we're going in the years to come. He makes you see that the covenant was given in a supernatural context. He mentions the heavens and the sea. It's a supernatural context. Hallelujah. So when you use the word sea here, look up now, he was referring to that is to go back again to Egypt. Egypt will imply beyond the sea. Do you see that? Come on! You see, he's trying to rework something for them. Not say, oh, since it's a restart, since it's a renewal. Does that mean somebody will have to go up again? I want you to see how they think. Does that mean somebody will have to go up again to the mountain to bring it down? This is a renewal. Or are we all now going to go back to Egypt and now we start again like our father? Did you see that? Say, no, do not think of it that way. Say, for the word is nigh thee, verse 13. Verses 14. For the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. So I've set before you life and death, good and evil. Did you see that? Hallelujah! Can you see that? So it's a renewal. Now the renewal doesn't mean you have to go back again. No, it says in your heart. The same thing that Moses told them. Is in your heart. What God is doing is in their heart. Hallelujah! So it's a renewal. So God gives His word and God renews it. We can also, instead of using the word renew,
now it doesn't look as if you are repainting your car. Glory to God. We can use another word. He gives His word and then He comes back again to restate it.
Amen. He gives His word and then He restates it again to restate.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So therefore, there is a renewal of covenants. Come on.
Right? That is what is happening now. Is that what that is?
Now Jesus now made the law in our heart.
No!
Yeah, somebody is in the tablet.
Did you just see what we just read?
That's not, that is Israel. The word I speak to you is not far from you. Right? Paul will now use that word in Romans 10. To pronounce the word is in your heart and in your mouth.
Do you see that?
The word of faith which you preach. That's what Paul will say.
Hallelujah.
Very good. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, God renews His covenant with us in Christ. That's what you should see. He renews His covenant with us in Christ.
So when he does that with us, he therefore means, since there is a new covenant in Christ, there is also a new people in Christ. Renewed people in Christ.
Hallelujah.
So God's work in the new covenant will be found in Christ. So there is another new people in Christ. A new creation. Do you see that? New creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We didn't have, so if there's a new creation, which are new people, right? Are we going to have new spirit? Is there a fresh people or renewed spirit? Thank you. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36. Are we 24 of course? Now you see something. Ezekiel 36. Are we 24? It says, for I will take you from among the heathen, and I'll gather you out of all the countries, and I'll bring you to your own land.
Did you see that? The spirit. Did you see that? God, what is God doing? God is making a new people. What God is doing here is a people. A family. How many people are with me? A people.
A people. I will gather you. A family. Now verse 26, look at what he will do. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and I will cleanse you. 25, from all your futures and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Say, new hearts. So that means, is that renewed heart?
Is that renewed heart? He takes away the stony heart and gives us the heart of flesh. Renewed heart. Hallelujah.
So have a renewed heart. Go away to God. Renewed heart. A new spirit. Hallelujah. Renewed spirit.
No one of the psalmists will say, is this creating me a clean heart? He said, I'll renew your spirit within.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. So, a renewed heart, a renewed people. Are we clean up? Glory to God. Okay. Will you also have a renewed Jordan?
Do you see that? A renewed Jordan? Do we have a renewed Jordan?
Yes.
Come on now. We're going to have a renewed Jordan. A renewed Red Sea. That will be Jesus in Exodus. He's dead. Glory to God. And our baptism in him.
Glory to God.
What about that day?
We'll have a renewed Joshua.
We saw that. Jesus became the new Joshua in the baptism of John.
So, the new Joshua, the new Savior.
Hope you're following that. Come on.
And also, oh, because we are a people, a new creation, a new family, we'll have a family language. So we'll have a renewed language. Watch that. A renewed language. Hope you're with me. Amen. So when he says new people or renewed people, right? That will be fulfilling what? Israel. So
he takes the attention of Israel as a physical nation and put it on God's people in the world. Hope you're following me. So there's a new Israel. That is not the Israel nation. Even the one in Asia is not even really Israel.
Is UN RNG?
This is...
This is...
I don't hear anything that I do. People have to go and submit a visa.
But that's you said Israel is the UN RNG. I didn't say you. It's RNG.
It's RNG. It's not real. Amen.
But we are the new Israel.
God's Israel. You don't know? So God is like God of Israel. Because God has done in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
So he now used Israel in Bible as an euphodegma, as a sign for us. So Israel in scripture is a sign pointing to God Israel in the spirit. Watch that. Hallelujah. The same way to the new land, their land, the land they were going to, was a sign to point to the spirit. How are you following me?
Now what about the priesthood? There is now a new priesthood. A new priesthood. No longer the Levites. The Levites was an hypodema, a pointer to who, a sign to the who? The real Israel. Do you see that? The real Israel. Glory to God. Amen. We could go on and on. On and on. New prophets. New prophets in him. Hallelujah. We could go on and on. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, also too, a renewed temple. You see that? A renewed temple. A renewed temple. A renewed temple. Or you put it like this, renewed worship in the new temple. Renewed worship and a renewed temple. Because there will be a new temple. There will be a new worship, but there's a new language. Hallelujah. A new language. God's own language that will offer in first, in offering, in worship to God. In his temple. Is that so? If you look at something we're going to see shortly, if you look at the context of tongues, it's a temple context. Tongues has a temple context because it's worship. It's worship. Okay, wait, wait. It's worship. It's a temple context. Hallelujah. New temple. There'll be a new temple. Hallelujah. Would there be a new heaven and earth? Amen. It will be renewed. Because heaven and earth in Exodus was the temple, was the tabernacle. You see that? Was the tabernacle. Now there is a new heaven and earth. The main heaven and earth. That is in his spirit. God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. Very right. So, a new temple, like I said, and that new temple will have a new mode of worship. A new mode of worship. The mode of worship now would not be sacrifices. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah. Oh, no one just chill. Chill on Isaiah for now. A new sacrifice, we'll get it. Amen. Amen. So the mode of worship will not be animal sacrifice, but through utterance. Through utterance, they would worship God. Through utterance, they would worship God. In spirit and in truth. So when Jesus said to the woman at the well, the true worshipper who worships the Father in spirit and in truth there, he's telling him that that word truth is the word aletheia, the reality. So he's telling him that the reality of the worship is not in the mountain nor in Jerusalem. But the reality of the worship of God is in the spirit. He says, in the spirit, that is the reality. So the reality of the worship of God is in the spirit. Okay, believe it. It's in the spirit. With our spiritual language. Hallelujah. Okay, with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said, like I said earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was to talk about tongues, we said Paul spoke about tongues in a temple narrative. He used the temple narrative. He used the temple narrative. We're starting this next session. But we use the temple narrative. It's because of time. We're not going to go through that. We'll see that temple narrative. So when he uses that temple narrative, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he was reading from Isaiah 28. He reads Isaiah 28. Let's see Isaiah 28. From verse 7. I would like to go, since now you understand what he's talking about. I feel like we should start from verses 1, but because of time. Let's start from verse 1. I need us to be fast. I need you to see how it got to it. Because we're going to say, we start on this, but we didn't actually see the context of it. Though the context is from chapter 26, but let's start from chapter 28. It says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Watch that. drunkard. I need you to underline that, because they will all come alive soon. The drunkard of Israel, whose glorious beauty is fading, is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valley of them that are overcome with wine. He said, behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, which have the tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down the earth with the hand.
Now, not saying, permission of God
will not
do that, so let me not jump.
He said, hey, that is actually away from God. Remember, I remember teaching us that when you get scriptures, when God visits a place, it's for what? Salvation, right? It's for salvation. Then, when you find salvation, what will you find also? You find what? Judgment for unbelief. You always see it. Hallelujah. You will always see it. But he comes for salvation, and in salvation you find judgment for unbelief. Very vital. Hallelujah. That's interesting. That's the truth. So the crown of pride, the drunkenness of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. He's referring to the drunkenness of Ephraim now. He says, okay, verse 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for the spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength, watch this, to them that turn the battle to the gates. He said, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, and are out of the way. Now watch verse 7, is very right. I said, the priests and the prophets have erred through what? Strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, and they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in visions, they stumble in judgment. For the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. Drunkenness, right? Now when he has that, they say, whom shall he teach knowledge? Talking about God. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Say, them that are weaned from milk and down and drawn from breast. They that are weaned from milk. Those that are deprived of milk. Do you see that? Can you say, those who have not gotten themselves unclean? Is that it? Is it? Who God makes known his doctrine to? Is it a, now, he's referring to those who are weaned from milk. Deprived of milk. Hallelujah. Stop there. Place that side by side with John chapter 4. That was the same expression Jesus used. For the woman in John 4, he says, he that shall drink, he said, will never taste. So, will never, he that drink of this well, it shall be he a spring of living water, thank God bless you. He said, of springing up into everlasting life. He will never taste. Now, that is the same contrast to Isaiah 28 here. He that is weaned, that is, that one is a need of drink. You see that? Is a need, not those that are drunken now, but those who have abstained from it, and yet they are weaned of water, weaned of drink. They are drawn away from Christ. Hallelujah. These are expressions of those who have kept themselves unleashed. I mean, who have kept themselves as unleashed. Hallelujah. He said, these are the ones that he will teach knowledge and make to understand. He said, he now says, yes, how is he going to do it? Verse 10, he said, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, lines upon lines, and line upon line. Yea, little, and day little. This is a building. That's what God is saying. That is a building. Did you see that? A building. I know you use it to preach. Precept upon precept, line upon line. It's actually a building concept. Hallelujah. Precept upon precept. That is the short form for building of a tabernacle, building of a temple. Precept upon precept. Follow, if you place that side by side with Exodus 25 verse 9, according to pattern, precept upon precept, line upon line. That's what it's talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. So he shows you again in Isaiah chapter 28 from verses 9 to 10 that God is building a temple. And verses 11 now says, for with stammering lips, you see that? And with other thoughts he will speak to these people. Which people?
Those who are saints of the living world. Hallelujah. Glory
to God.
Amen. So in judgment, I don't like to put the judgment first, but in judgment we see salvation. We see what God is going to do. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So very vital. So like I said, they place that with John 4 verse 13 into 14 and see that. So we see that he's building a temple. So the context too, and that is why it was not hard for Paul to situate thoughts in the context of the temple. Why? Because that was what was done. As I had did also. Every writer of scripture did. Hallelujah. So he used another example for stammering lips. We're not looking at that today.
Well, use the word stammering lips there. He's referring to tongues. Stammering lips is used for mockery like sounds. You know, so you unbelievers, when you speak in tongues, it sounds like mockery. Stammering lips. Yeah, baba, shit, baba, baba. Wait a minute. Amen. Is it not drunk? Can you say? Is it not drunk? Stammering lips. So folks, it's with tongues. Watch this now. It's with tongues around where? Or in a temple context. The same with Isaiah, the same with Moses. Remember I said Isaiah was writing for Moses. Right? And we saw what is God doing in the tabernacle. Utterance. Amen. New utterance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look a few things. So, if Isaiah's commentary is around or in the temple, is within the temple context, therefore, let's see a contrast to this. A contrast to this would be Genesis chapter 11, where men gather to build a tower. And if till today, a man would think that what they were building was a tower to get to heaven, you know what you should do? Go back and return to school. Hey, all the certificate from Gibea, a university graduate. Carry your certificate. Carry your WAEC. Go to WAEC office. Go back to the university and return the certificate. Because the school where which you've gone, the school that you've gone, did not profit you. Can you say that building tower will get to heaven? If you apply that university and you don't understand that the tower, we will not spend, don't even write down there. How can you say that? That I'm building a tower that will get to heaven. Which heaven? Then no one get to the sky. Even the man that has entered place, even me, that I just recently took graduation, I knew when I passed the sky, I was still inside the earth. I did that thing, Jesus, I love Jesus. Beyond the cloud, is still the end. So what did they want? So how would they have built the tower to? There is nothing like that. It doesn't happen. Hallelujah. That is why I said to you, you can never try to read the Bible in your world today. You will miss it. You miss what the Bible says. Without the building, you cannot get to heaven. Even with the whole sophistication, with the whole technological advancement we have in the world, the tallest building in the world has not even gone to the sky. With the whole sophisticated, in fact, history has it that there was no such building
they are not even close.
God knows that they are one of the sky, they are all the reason.
Who bewitched you?
God has been killed and they are
confuse them, confuse them,
come on!
Confuse them!
No, no, give me more! Give me more! Give me more!
Come on now! No! In fact,
that was Toa! Okay, I've not even read it, I'm already giving you the word. The whole earth was with one language and one speech. And they came to Pharaoh, they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they found a place, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us make bricks, what is, and burn them thoroughly, and they had bricks for stone, and slime, and, I mean, had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. Watch that word. I want to be taking it one by one. A city. Now, with that word city, this is this for a people. A people.
Let's build a city. The same thing what? The same thing that can build a city. A people. Watch that.
Hallelujah. A city. And it's used for a people. Watch that. And a tower. Now that word tower there is the word Migdal.
M-I-G-D-A-L. Migdal.
Now that word Migdal, before you begin to think it's a tower that was just going to no. Watch this. It says, whose top may reach unto the heaven and let us make us a name. Which top? Now when you use the word heaven there, it shows you what they are doing is supernatural.
Stop.
Amen. Supernatural stuff. Put that to one side. He now says, who stopped me with the heaven? Now he now says, let us make us a name.
This is so the purpose, listen, the purpose of the temple is to make them a name. Put that to one side.
Watch this.
So this already tells you it's not a building of it's not a skyscraper. Amen. How about Jesus? How about Jesus?
Skyscraper,
there's no ancient building that was a skyscraper in the world.
That has never existed like that. So sometimes when you have to meet an instant, they are telling this has never existed. Are you sure? So I said, no, let me show you. I've said something like this before. And they used it and said, is that true? Oh, I didn't see it somewhere.
When you just jump up one day
and just be reading Bible as though you and Munachi in the same class. Amen. Amen. So when you use that word Migdal, that word is used for a shrine. That's the word. That word tower is a shrine. So what they were building is not a building but a shrine, a place of worship. So that was why they say, who stopped may reach the heaven?
Where have we had this conversation? We had another conversation like this somewhere in Genesis chapter 28.
We're going to get to Genesis 28. So you see what God is doing. Hallelujah. What God is doing, Genesis 28. This is what men are doing. What is man doing? Man is building himself a temple. Watch this. Man is building a temple to make his name great. And God said no. Amen. So when you use the word shrine, then Midgard is used for a place of worship of deities. For worship of idol. That's what it is. So man who build a place, so whenever man builds a place of God, builds a place of deities, it's idol worship. We're going to see that. It's idol worship. Hallelujah. When men build a place for the worship of deities, is either word. That's why the use of the word heaven is there, one, and the use of the word make us a name. You see that? So the verb of that word Migdal is the word Gadal. That's the verb. The verb of that word Migdal is the word Gadal. G-A-D-A-L. That word Gadal is used immediately after Genesis 11, Genesis 12. That's the word. Genesis 12, in verses 1 into 2. He said, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show you. Do you see? Now, in Genesis 11, it's man that is building. In Genesis 12, it's God that is building. In verse 12, now, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make now. That word, thy name, is actually my name. I will make my name great. So, did you see the contrast? In Genesis 11, it's man that is building. In Genesis 12, God is saying, I'm the one to be. That is a contrast. Amen. God is a counter narrative God is bringing forth. Man is trying to make his name great. No, it's God's name that should be great. What are you saying that? And it's not man that will make a place for God, it's God that will make himself a place. What are you following? What are you following? Amen. So what they were doing was not building a skyscraper. They were making a shrine to make their name great. It is done in a supernatural context. So the universe of what happened there is a supernatural context. They have to see that. In Genesis 28, quickly, let's get to Genesis 28. Let's see this. See what God is doing. Genesis 28. Hope you're understanding something here. Hallelujah. Verses 11. Okay, verses 12. I mean verses 10, sorry. And Jacob went up from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a site, and he lighted upon a certain place. I need you all to look at this. And tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillow and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of the ladder reached to where?
Reached where? Is that the same with Genesis 11? Right? Now let's see who's on the top of this ladder.
Who's on the top of this ladder? No, angels, behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Do you see that?
Do you see that? So, it's not man that is making this name great, it's God.
So, that is a contrast, amen, a counter narrative to Genesis 11. No, it's not man that's building. It's God that is building. It's God that now present in all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he shows that ladder that was set. Angels are sending and descending to show you it's also a supernatural context.
Remember, in your world, mountains are called heaven. Sky is called heaven. So that is far beyond the physical life is called heaven. So, it doesn't mean that there was all ladder that down blue. No.
What Jacob was seeing was a supernatural world order. Hallelujah. Supernatural world context. Hope you're following that. Heaven. So, his God that is building his temple. God's temple. Look at verse 17. He says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful was this place? And there's no other, and said, this is no other than the house of God. This is what Jacob called that, what he saw. He said, no other than the house of God. Family, the people, what God is making. Hallelujah. The house of God. House of God, place of worship. So that means Genesis 11 is a place of worship too. For deities, not for God. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Let's conclude this. I want that. He said, and Jacob rose up in the morning and took stones and put it for, I set up a pillar and poured oil upon on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Bethel. Bethel means, that's what Bethel. Bethel. Amen. Place of worship of God. Bethel. Hallelujah. Amen. God's family. Beit is for family. God's family. Family of God. Hallelujah. Family of God. So what God is building is a family. Counter narrative to Genesis 11. Hallelujah. So we said, when men build a place for God, it is idol worship.
And it's everybody. Don't need that anymore. Men are not supposed to build a place of God. Is it always trying to build a place of God?
No, men don't build a place of God.
Now build a place. Now carry picture and preach.
For example, when Jesus is standing like this.
or like this. I know you have one of my friends there.
I told you, if I have money, in my compound, my big compound, I'll make my own bill. And my bill will stand like this. And like this. With rings on her hand.
The guy got mad. Got angry. So what is wrong with you?
You go to hellfire. You are coming to just think, stop idol worship. God said you shouldn't liken it to any picture, to anything.
Amen? When we get to the house, just at the middle of their living room, you see, crowd, blood.
I want
you to see, even for Jesus I'm serving. Ah!
Even for Jesus I'm serving. Who? Jesus I'm serving.
Nonsense. Not for Jesus I'm serving. He has serving Bishop. Because in his wall,
there was no picture. No, he saw it in a vision. Like this
one. It's in a vision. God, Jesus wants to say, draw me. If I give you, come. Very soon, they will go and draw KOK. You stop doing nonsense. And they say, Jesus. The Jesus is doing like this. God said, you shouldn't like. I'm going to show you that the NGPL. You'll be shocked.
God said, don't liken him to anything. Even when you worship him, when you close eyes and worship him, don't picture him anyhow. Don't picture him. Don't put a picture on your head. No! He's idol. He's idol. Don't have one picture on your head. And it's part of the Christ who is in worship. So have the floor in and say, ah! Don't picture him anyhow. Don't picture him in any form. Don't picture him. No!
How many enemies? Don't worship him. Don't have any form in your mind. When you have forms in your mind, it's called idol worship. The boy is Jesus. Now, how do you know he's Jesus? He says, no, he's Jesus. I'm saying, look at the blood.
You're not well. Amen.
You worship him in spirit. How many enemies? That's the reality. I want to say something. I said years back, I said, if you speak in tongues, very well. You cannot speak in tongues and then you haven't thought of white.
So it was really white.
That's like
Bohemian said this. He said, if the Holy Spirit puts on a red hat and walk on the street, several people will not know the Holy Spirit.
We just wear a red hat and stand on it. That's why we just think of white. No, that can't be the Holy Spirit. You just wear a red hat.
And it's now, maybe, a man carries a kind of empty bag. And stand by one car like this. They don't go fast. They don't know it.
Amen. I mean, we're looking out for one fair person. Do you know Jesus is first?
And now where?
He said he has long hair. Well, problem is Salvador. It's Salvador that's in your mind. Glory to God. Amen. So, if he said, when men build a place for him, it's called idol worship, right? That he's not making a place for himself. Then what about, what then did Moses build? And Solomon, what did they build? Did they build a place for him? Right? That becomes a question. But Solomon and Moses built a place for him. No, they didn't build a place for God. They didn't. I told you that. Amen. In Exodus 25. Quickly, Exodus 25. Verse 9. It says, "So let them make me a sanctuary," verse 8, "that I may dwell amongst them according to all I have shown thee after the pattern of the tabernacle." Watch this. Say the pattern, after the pattern of the tabernacle. So that means there is a tabernacle that was shown him that he was supposed to build this tabernacle, this act to pattern. Amen. Okay, so what Moses built was not a place of God, but was a pattern. A pattern is a word used by
The writer of Hebrews,
so he put them up. Something that points to another thing. So he, Moses is not saying God is going to come and live here. But Moses is using the tabernacle to show you what God is doing in the earth. So Moses didn't build a place for God.
Okay, follow me. Why did he build a place for God? No, he didn't.
Hallelujah. Moses did.
But he's showing this is what God is doing in all the earth. A people. Heaven and earth together. Hope you're following that. Let's see. Solomon. And let's begin to round up. Let's see Solomon. First Kings. Chapter 8. Now, Solomon is about to dedicate the temple. Look at what he said in verse 27. First Kings 8:27. He's asking a question. He says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Do you see that? He said, will God dwell on the earth? Verse 27. He's dedicating his temple and said, will God dwell on the earth? He said, behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I've built. Do you see that? He already gave that disclaimer that it's not building a place of God. Because even the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. How much more this? So he gives you that disclaimer. It didn't be the place of God. So the temple that he built was not for God to come and have. But he himself said God cannot even stay there. Didn't that? But was it teaching you? You are using it to teach what God is going to do in all the world. Hallelujah. So men don't build the place of God. As if some people build a
church and say God is going to come and tell
you. God has built a place for himself.
And where did he build for himself? Our darkness. So the reason why God is here is because we are here. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because we are together. We are together. He has called us together. So whenever we are here, this place becomes a holy ground. Hallelujah. Becomes a holy ground. Make you live here on Monday. And they are doing school. It's a school ground. One day they are for Shemu. They were having a meeting in his place. So they now gave out the same place for them, for people to be doing club. The same place. So the brother came to me and said, ah! Holy ground! So they said, holy ground! How they gonna do? Said, this place, they are the holy temple! Even they don't say, people are drinking food. They don't know how they can see over. Even in my church! How will you deal with that phrase? All that.
Every time we go,
this is where God lives. How? I don't worship.
God lives here because we are here. Hallelujah. It becomes a place of appointment with God because we have made it a place of appointment. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Isaiah 66 verse 1. I want to show you this. I wanted to get here before. It says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. What is this? And the earth is my footstool. Say, where is the house that you built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Say, where is the house you said you built to me? No, God didn't demand you to build in my house. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Say, for all these things have my hand made. Hallelujah. And those things that have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Hallelujah. Even to him that is poor. And of a contrite spirit and troubleth at my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, unto men shall I look. Men.
So God is building himself a house.
In all the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Let's get back to Babel. I say Babel to Genesis 11. I say Babel. I already got to the end of my teaching. Glory to God. So let's see verses 9. So you say, verse 7 says, so let's go down and confront their language. We saw all this, right? During
revelation of God. Get that teaching. When it means God went down, what does it mean? When the God visited them. So went down and to confront their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of the earth. He scattered them from where? Where is the hence? In their temple? In their worship? Of idol? They had what? Their tongues were scattered. Watch that. Watch that. The temple that was supposed to unite them, they had scattered tongues. Put it like this, confusion. That's what it means. They were scattered. So confusion. That's confusion. Hallelujah. In the temple. In their temple. Not in the temple. What do you think they are talking about the temple of God? In their temple. It's confusion. Hope you're following that. So I needed to see the contrast. Confusion. But what God is doing is uniting men in his temple. Now, why did you see that? Look at verse 9. He said the name of the place is called Babel. Babel. Babel is the opposite for God's system, God's word. God's word. Babel is where you have the word Babylon. Is the word is the word used against God's system, God's work in the earth. When you have Babel, it's opposite of what God is doing. That's Babel. Babylon is not just a place, it's a system. Hallelujah. In scripture, it's used many times in contrast to what God is doing. So that means, in Babel, what do you have in worship? Confusion. Hallelujah. God is saying, he's building himself a people, a temple that will house the whole world, that will house every man. Hallelujah. Every man from different tribes and different tongues will worship God in his temple. That means, while in the world is confusion in language, in God's temple, we are united by his language. Hallelujah. Though we are from different tribes, different tongues, but in his temple, we have a unity of language. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. So, confusion, diversity, but in chapter 12, God is building his own. And God's temple, all men, every language, will be found in his language. I put it this way. In God's temple, every man, every language, will... Okay. Will be in his language. Every language will be in his language. So, in tongues, God unites every tribe. Every tribe. In tongues, God unites every tongue in his temple. In his temple. So that is why when you read the psalmist and you say, in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. How do you speak of his glory? Diverse language or in one language? In one language. That is glory. In one language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what's that? And that language will be that worship of God. So that means in his temple we'll have unity of worship. Glory to God. Unity of worship. A question we'll answer as we go into next session. Okay, what is the next? Is we will answer some questions like, is it when people say speaking in tongues, some people have argued, but we're going to see that speaking in tongues, we're going to go into details, is speaking another person's language Yoruba speaking Idoma. We're going to see whether that is what speaking in tongues actually means.
Amen. Some people say speaking in tongues is used for evangelism. We're going to see. Is that actually?
Amen. We're going to do that, and we're going to do it. We're going to tackle it from scriptures holistically, not leaving any stone on tongues. Amen. Because when it comes to tongues, we must get ourselves prepared for any kind of question that will come. For man, woman, material, death, anybody.
The question of course, I have an answer for today. Hallelujah.
Amen. So from the Genesis, God is binding the whole world. It's men in one language. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll explore that in the coming session. And also to answer question like, you know, I'm already giving us a foothold
or a foot ahead on our past two of this. And I told you I'm going to divide into two, right? Before and after you came out. Very simple, we're going to. Amen. So some people say, let's worship God in our language.
That when we come together, speaking in tongues, everybody will just worship God in their different language. I've heard people say that. Let's just worship God in our different languages. So if you are in church, let's worship God in our different language. Yoruba is speaking Yoruba. Hello to Mary, Shego.
Igbo is saying, ah, Chukwu Dalu. Yoruba is doing, Kalaba is doing, Idoma is doing, Lupe is doing, Kalaba is doing, Jos is doing. The ones that don't have, know their language, they are doing. Everybody just doing. Bayelsa is doing.
The Igbo, the Hausa man is doing. Everybody just speaking. Say, let's just worship God in our different languages. That's what God is saying. No! Amen! No! If that is what God wanted to do,
he won't come together. God doesn't want us to worship in our different languages. We'll come together. Hallelujah. So when we come together as a church, we can raise our voice together in tongues. Hallelujah. With our voice together in tongues, have the unity of worship. I said this to someone. Tongues is beyond the sound of it. Tongues is a spiritual worship for worshiping God. Hallelujah. Then we ask our question was, what if men don't understand? Well, how is it not that men don't understand? Well, my worship is not to man, my worship is to God. That's why Paul was saying no man understands. And that's why he's not called speaking in languages. He's called speaking in tongues. Heteros glossalai. Amen. Glossalai is not used for, glossalai is not used for, it's not dialectos. There are two words used for languages. Glossalaria and dialectos. Dialectos is used for dialect, how we converse. It's not for conversation. Tongues is not. It's not that letter. No, we talk
Hallelujah.
Because no man understands how deep in the spirit. You see that? So tongues has a supernatural content. How deep in the spirit. However, makes sense in the natural. But you know what? In the spirit, I'm speaking, I'm worshiping God. Hallelujah. So that's the reason for that. That's the reason why I don't let us. So no man can understand me. It's communication. Which must serve and God, not die. Amen. Okay, follow me. So when I pray in tongues, Paul will say, that is why your understanding is on foot. We say, no man understand any. Are you a man? You want to speak in tongues, is he a man? Even you yourself don't understand. Except you interpret. So when you look at the interpretation of tongues, interpretation is now for dialectors. No one is slowly. Interpretation is now for dialectors. Because I cannot interpret for another to say amen. Did you see that? That's what I understand. But when I'm not doing it for someone to understand, and I'm worshiping God, it is called glossolalia. We are always gloss after or communicating with God. Though we are it's coming out in different sounds, but in the spirit, we are worshiping God in truth. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So that's why I told someone, I heard that people are teaching to us. I told someone, you can't teach everyone no. So I'm not saying Bazin and Ara. Okay, Bazin means God. Balandos means
no!
He doesn't come out that way. He's not mad. He's not even mad when he's not caliber. No. He's tongue, brother. He can come out in different sounds. Amen?
But you know what? In this church,
we are worshiping God. Hallelujah. So when we speak in tongues like that, we are standing in our office as priests. We are standing in our office. Hallelujah. Like I said, we're going to explore this. But I'm saying this because of Jesus that's coming up in some few days' time. We are standing in our office and speaking of God in worship to God. We are standing in our duty post. So come GPLR, we'll be praying for us. Us. I will pray in tongues alone. Alone for us. We are standing in our office. We are duty bound to pray in tongues. We are duty bound to offer worship to God. Hallelujah. Worship to God. Standing up. Standing up. Taking standing up office. And we're doing what we ought to do by responsibility. Hallelujah. Because worshiping God is the responsibility of the believer. So you're a believer. You are standing in your office. Hallelujah. Oh, we are following me. You worship. Let us thank you. Mm-hmm.